Second Chronicles chapter 20. I want to read a verse to you that's something I've talked about a little bit before here, but I want to expound on it a little bit more today. Second Chronicles 20, verse 26. Chapter 19 and 20 of 2 Chronicles is something you want to go home and read this when you get home. This is a fabulous account in history that you can read about God and what He does. It says, on the fourth day they assembled in the valley, and they is Israel. On the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Barak, and there they blessed the Lord, therefore having named the place the valley of Barak until today. This is a great, great scripture. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. And I want you to pray with me. And I'm wondering, Brother Mike Lewis, Deacon, if you'll bless us in the preaching of the word, sir. We can all say together, amen. Amen. Like I mentioned, this chapter in the Bible is a fabulous chapter. This scripture here and also in chapter 19, those scriptures, they describe a great moment in a moment of rejoicing in history. You'll see this map up here. I don't know if you can see it clearly, but if you kind of recognize, that's a map of Israel and Judah. You know, the nation of Israel had kind of divided by this time into two different nations, and the dark green one at top is Israel, and the lighter green, lime green one on the bottom is Judah. And we're talking about Judah. Judah is where Jerusalem is, and the king of Judah at that time, his name was Jehoshaphat. And all of a sudden these countries got very greedy, and they wanted to move against Jehoshaphat, so they decided they were going to invade Jehoshaphat's Judah. And so not just one, but three different nations, the yellow nation from the south there, the brown or dark green nation from the east there, and also the blue nation up there, all three of those nations are going to invade into Jerusalem and take over Jerusalem, rob them, pillage them, and take all of anything of value from that country, and maybe even settle there and take their land and farm their land, possibly if they wanted to. But that's what their plan was to do. And so, and Judah was kind of at a place where the military had been weakened by some poor leadership before the king. And so now this nation was in a very vulnerable place in time. And these evil people, these people that were full of all kinds of paganism and horrible things, they were marching. They were actually marching against Judah. They had come to this valley called that we're talking about today, the Valley of Barak. This is also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is also the valley where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, that we've always heard about, the Battle of Armageddon. This is all the same valley. It's the valley that goes from Jerusalem, all north of Jerusalem, actually all the way down to the Dead Sea there. It's a very long and wide valley. And so this is what's happening. These nations have come to destroy, to steal, and that's what, don't you know, that's what happens. When Satan can, he likes to come against the children of God, and he likes to take things from us. That's what Satan does so effectively. He takes things that are precious to us, our joy, our wealth, our mind, our health, our families. How many know that Satan came to steal these things from you? Jesus said he come to steal. That's his number one mission. He's going to come and steal from you, which leads to the next mission. Eventually, he wants to kill. He He wants to kill your joy. He wants to kill your health. He wants to kill your family. He wants to kill you. And finally, he wants to destroy you utterly in hell, destroy your name so that everything he can. He wants to do these things, and that's what the servants of Satan do. They steal and kill and destroy. And that's what these people were, pagan people, and they were coming against God's people, Judah, who worship God, and so they came to do that, to steal from them. And God does this wonderful miracle for them, for the children of Israel, because they decided, through their king's leadership, Jehoshaphat, they decided, I'm spoiling the story for you. You're going to go home and read it, but you're going to say, I knew what was going to happen. But anyway, Jehoshaphat led them closer to God, and the prophets began speaking. God began speaking through his prophets, and he all of a sudden something began happening. He began to tell them, listen, you depend on me. Listen, church, God wants you not to depend on your abilities, not to depend on the bank, not to depend on the job, not to depend on the place you work, not to depend on the doctors. Now, these are all great things that God has given us, but we have our ultimate dependence has to be on God. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's everything to us, isn't he? He's our Savior. Everything has to come through him to us. And we have to get this in our mind that we are a people of faith. And if we have faith, we receive grace. How many like grace? Unmerited favor. Amen. How many like? And you also receive mercy. Amen. I'm glad I receive mercy because that means I don't get what I deserve. Grace means I get what I don't deserve. So I like being the mercy and grace because I know what I deserve. But I get something else that I don't deserve. But it's because I have faith in Jesus Christ. I have faith in God Almighty that he is helping me today and helping you. And God wants you to walk in faith. And he was speaking this even to Israel and to Judah at that time. And he said to Judah through the prophets, depend on me because I'm going to bless you if you'll depend on me. Right. And so what happened is they said, we are going to depend on you and we're going to do what you tell us to do. And God says, I want you to send the singers and the worshipers out. And so they worshiped. And all of a sudden, confusion came into the enemy's camp. How many of you know when the church worships, when we believe God, in spite of our circumstance, chaos comes upon Satan's camp. It's truth. If you look in the Bible, you'll find it even in the New Testament. You remember Paul and Silas had been beaten, horribly beaten, and they were locked up in chains and into a dark dungeon, probably damp and rank in there. And could you imagine what it was like? Just go a little bit worse than that because it was horrible. And all of a sudden, about the midnight hour, Callie, it says that they began to sing praises. Amen. Now, church, get this because this is who we are. This is the church. When the floods come and the storms come and the troubles in life come, that's what we do. We praise God. Yeah. We're not praising him for the flood. We're not praising him for the problems. We're not praising him for the persecution and death, but we're praising him because he's God and he's our God and he's helping us even in those dark hours. We live in a cursed world and we have to put up with this cursed world. We have to live here and surrounded by evil. We have to wade through this. We live in a world that hates the church. They tell me in 2016 that every hour of 2016, someone will be killed because they're a Christian. Every hour of this year. Amazing. It's hard for us to believe here, living in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Here we are. We people go to church, and even people that don't go to church, their family got somewhere they probably call, that's my church up there. I hadn't been there in a year, but that's, if I was going to go, that's where I'd go. I mean, that's the way people are here where we live. And so, you know, we're church kind of focused here, but it's hard for us to believe that here is because we protect the rights of the Christians in the church. But friends, I want you to know that it's not this way everywhere in our nation, even in our nation. And things are changing very rapidly against the church, even in America. And persecution is going to come to us as well, I'm afraid. I'm not hoping for it. I don't want it. But I'm afraid that's what that things look like and appearing, that persecution's coming to the church in America. It certainly has around the world. We're seeing people killed because of their declaration of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we got to know the enemy's against us. He hates us. But here we are. The enemy comes against us, and we worship God. We give him praise because we know that Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. We know that. It doesn't matter, enemy Satan, it doesn't matter what you throw at me. I won't bow, I won't kneel, and I won't worship. I might perish here in this fiery furnace, but I'll not kneel to you, Satan. And that's what the Christian church is. That's who we are. And because of that, the world hates us. I want you to know, I believe that everybody in this room is a Christian first and an American second. And that's why Americans don't like us. The government doesn't like us because our loyalty is to Christ first. And as long as the government which we created by the people is what our government is in line with the Scripture, we're going to be obedient to the government. When the government begins departing from that, then we might have to begin disobeying the government. We love our nation, but we're a Christian first. Amen. And so that's why the world doesn't like us, and that's why Christianity is forbidden in many countries. If North Korea sees us as a scourge and they don't want us Christians in that nation because they want you to be loyal to their emperor, Kim. And so, you know, this is the thing is as we deal with that in the church where the world hates us, but we worship God. And so Israel sent out the worshipers, and chaos came into the camp, and Moab turned it against Ammon, and Ammon turns it against Edom, and all of a sudden they're fighting each other. And that's what happens when the church rises up and worship and praise, as the enemy gets confused and confounded, and they begin, because they're destroyers, they destroy each other. Hallelujah. And that's what happened there. And for 3 days, they carried off the loot. Can you imagine? 3 days, they're carrying off things from what the enemy had left. And then on the fourth day, it says, on the fourth day, they assembled in that same valley. Because that's where they were going to bless the Lord. They were going to worship. They were going to have a praise service. The name of the valley is Barak, which means a blessing. They call it the Valley of Blessing. Of course, it's related to that blessing is related to submission. And they knew that they got blessed because they were in submission to God. But that same valley of blessing for Judah was a valley of judgment for the other people, for the enemies of God. So we got to understand that God's people get blessed when the world gets judged in the same valley, side by side sometimes. And that's going to happen in the future. So that's where we're standing in we're all in a valley in life right now. This is where things grow and things flourish. Every now and then we get those mountaintop experiences, Dave. We get up there and we can see the scenery, but really we exist in the valleys, really. That's where we're growing and maturing. And something's happening in the valley. Either judgment or blessing. There's no gray area. So we're either walking in this valley of blessing or walking in the valley of judgment. Joel talked about this same valley, this very same valley Jehoshaphat. In Joel chapter 3, verse 14, he says, Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. See, he renamed the valley of decision. It's the same valley, same place, but he's prophesying of something that's going to happen even in the future from now. But he's talking to us from years past, even before Christ. He's proclaiming something's going to happen in this valley, Carrie. There's going to be multitudes and multitudes of people in that valley. It's the valley of decision. When we think about the valley of decision, we're thinking, well, you know, I guess that's a time for me to make a decision. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the decision has been made. God made the decision. They're in the valley of decision. He's made the decision. This prophetic utterance from Joel is talking about the judgment of God that's upon his enemies in the last days. This is the Battle of Armageddon. We know that in the last days in that valley, the huge army that's coming against Jerusalem, coming against Israel, will come to that very same valley. And Joel calls it the Valley of Decision. He might call it, better call it the Valley of Judgment, because God's made a decision to judge the enemies of God right there. Wow. Thousands of years ago. 800 years, I think, before Christ was born when Joel prophesied. This is not a fork in the road for us. This is not a deciding time for us. This is a place where God has already made the decision. The fate of those that stand against him will perish. We read just a little bit farther in Joel chapter 3 again, just verse 15. It says, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars will lose their brightness. Verse 16, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold for the sons of Israel. Sounds just like what happened to Jehoshaphat, doesn't it? God's going to speak, and the enemies of God will be judged. The decision's been made. They will be judged and destroyed right there in that valley. But God is a refuge for his people. The reality of it is this. There's a day coming for all of us when our clock stops. And all of a sudden on that day for us, the sun is going to go dark and the stars and the moon, we're not going to see them anymore. That's the moment in our life that we are in that valley ourselves, so that moment's coming when the judgment time comes. And where will we be standing? Will we be standing in the refuge of God because we're in relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are we going to be standing in the place of decision or judgment of God? God wants us to think about these things and consider them now. He wants you to know where you're standing with him. The Holy Spirit will reveal you to you right now if you ask him, God, am I ready for my son to go out? Am I ready for my clock to stop? Am I ready for that moment? And because the reality of it is we charge through life thinking, well, we see death on the left, death on the right. We see floods in Florida, fires in California. The guy down the street's got cancer. This one up the street just perished. But it's always somebody else. But there's a day coming. We got to stop and reckon on this, because there's a day coming when our sun and moon quit shining for us. We got to recognize that we're not going to live forever. We're immortal people. God wants us to know where we're standing. Are we ready for that moment? And I believe God shows us. His Spirit speaks to us. Circumstance in life speaks to us. The Word of God speaks to us. And it speaks to us. It tells us where we're standing with him. Today, it's our valley of decision, you might say. We get to decide. Yes, we get to decide what side. Are we going to stay in the refuge, or are we going to do our own thing in the valley and come against God? I want you to get this, because Jehoshaphat, Brother Stephen, Jehoshaphat didn't just make up his mind on that day that he was going to serve God. Bryce, it wasn't just that moment when here comes the enemies that I'm going to serve God, because, and that's so many people that they wait for the problems to come in life before they start to say, you know what, I guess I better start serving God. But the reality of it is, Jehoshaphat decided before then, amen, I'm going to serve God. Yes. He started, as you begin reading in chapter 19, and you begin seeing what he began doing, he began causing the whole nation of Judah as he was leading them. And friends, we need to do this with our family, not just us, but our family, those that we have influence over. We need to begin persuading each other. Let's follow God. Let's stay in the refuge. That's our job, to persuade others and go there ourselves, lead by example. But we need to lead and say, come on, let's go to somewhere, because there's a time coming when judgment's going to come, and I want to be in the valley of blessing, not the valley of judgment. I want you to be in the valley of blessing with me. There's nobody, even the most hardened, horrible person that's hurt me the most, I don't want them to face the judgment we're talking about. There's some evil people in the world. There's people that have maliciously harmed me and harmed people that are very dear to me. But I still don't want them to face this, because this is horrible. Deborah, this is bad. We can't grasp. If somebody said, a guy wrote a book, said he spent 20 minutes in hell or something like that, I don't believe it. Because you're not going to come back from hell sane. You're not going to spend 20 minutes in hell and come back sane. I think somebody wrote a book that probably sounds nice, but listen to me. Hell is horrible, more horrible than you can imagine. Why do we want to go there? Why not? God's saying, receive my blessing, but it's all in submission to him. I don't know if you've noticed lately or not, but there's this mixed signal that's being proclaimed around the world, kind of like this sign. What do I do? All you can do there is just stop. I guess going to have to wait for a helicopter to pick you up so you can go up. It's just amazing. There's some confusion going on. There's a confusion. The signal that, because we hear people say, you know what, I have my rights. I could be, I can say, I can do what I want to do. I have my rights. If I want to get mad at you, I can get mad at you. If I want to cuss you, I can cuss you. I've got the right. I got rights. Wag your head. There's something happens when someone wags their head at me. I start thinking, I've got my rights. I have problems with that, but so far I've been able to control myself. But yeah, this is it. This is the reality. I have my rights. I am who I want to be. I is what I is. I can say what I want to say. I can be. I am. And they tell you, you can be all that you want to be. You can. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? And this is the time when we preach that message. But at the same time, we have people going around saying, I can't help the way I am. My mama potty trained me too soon. That's why I have all this pent up anger. come on. My daddy whipped me one too many times. That's not my case. But anyway, my parents were mean. My parents neglected me. My parents are this. I didn't know my daddy. You know, we got to say, I can do anything. I got my rights. I can be anything. I can say anything. But on the other hand, we're saying, I can't help to be the way I am. I'm just born this way. I'm of Irish, German, Indian, Polish descent. That's the way what my people are, you know. We got all these excuses. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it, James. I can't help it. But on the other hand, we're preaching this other message. I can be anything I want to be. What are you? What's the truth here? The reality is this. God created you in His image. This is the truth. That's what the Bible said. God created you in His image. But man chose to chase after the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what animals do. I'm getting to the point here. You are created a sovereign being. And you get to choose whether you want to act like an animal or you want to be like a God. That's the reality. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you are gods, but he created you in his image. You can be God-like, Christ-like. You can be God-like. God created you to have dominion. God created Adam and he said, take dominion. He said the same thing to Noah, take dominion. He's saying that to the church, take dominion. First of all, we better take dominion of ourselves.
Right.
And quit being ruled like an animal by the lust of our flesh that I'm hungry I'm thirsty or whatever you are. We pursue anything we want to pursue to satisfy our flesh or our pride, who we are. So we act like animals, but God says, I created you to be like a God, to have dominion in this world. And that's the reality that's who God created us to be. That's the truth. That God created us to be sovereign individuals, to choose. We could choose. The reality is we're going to choose one or another. We're going to be in submission either to Satan or to God the Father. That's the reality is that's the way this we have to choose. And God says it in so many ways through the Scripture. Probably no better than Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. And that's the reality is we got to choose who are we. And what are we going to do? And where are we going to go? It gets pretty simple. Life gets real simple. I like our sign this week, Sean. It says, life is simple. Don't make it complicated. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Do I choose to exist in the valley of blessing, or do I choose to live in the valley of judgment? It's pretty plain. It's pretty easy when it's spelled out like that, doesn't it? But life gets complicated because we complicate it. And I think God wants to speak this to us today. What decision are you going to make in the valley of decision? Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.